I want to thank everybody for your attendance tonight. It's certainly very nice to see the interest that's demonstrated by your being here. My name's Jay Hashider. I'm the chair of our task force. I am going to just kick the meeting off, and what we're going to do is have Tom Rose present or be the moderator during the public input session. But before we get to that point, I need to do our business, which is to call the meeting to order. And our first item is introductions, and I normally go around the room, but I think I'm going to waive that tonight. We have our name tags up here so you can see us, and we hopefully, when you come up and give your name and address, we'll get to know you. So with that, I am going to request a motion for the approval of the agenda.
So move.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
And we can move on to the new business. What we're going to do tonight is have, as you can see on the agenda, that there is an A and a B part, introduction of and review of the IERMP project and a presentation of the draft of the task force draft recommendations. Tom's going to cover that, and as he goes through it, we're going to show some of the recommendations, all of the recommendations that the task force has written and are being considered. So I'm going to turn it over to Tom, and after he's done, then we'll start the public hearing.
Thank you all again for coming this evening. I want to make it clear that I am no expert on electricity, energy resources, or power generation. I'm a veterinarian. But like many of you people, we have interest in what happens to our city. I'm not even a voting member of this task force. I'm an ad hoc member from the Housing and Community Development Commission. I'm simply here to serve as your moderator for this evening for this comment section. So the purpose of this portion of our meeting this evening is to hear public comment concerning the two concluding documents prepared by the consultants contracted for this project, Siemens Industry Incorporated, as well as the summary and recommendations document being created by the Integrated Energy Resource and Master Plan Task Force. These documents are the result of an open multi-year process beginning in mid-2018 with the creation of this task force by City Council resolution. In simple terms, the task was to evaluate what we currently have in place as far as electrical power supply for the city is concerned, to determine what our vulnerabilities might be, and then to predict what we need to have in place to best meet our future needs and community priorities and the costs potentially associated with meeting those needs. While many of the conclusions that are presented are based on in-depth analysis of our current system, operations, and markets, many of the recommendations for future needs are based upon assumptions and best educated guesses for the next 20 years. Let me restate that again. They are based on assumptions and best educated guesses. Think of how much things have changed over the past 20 years, and you will know how difficult that task can be. So the first document, I'm going to watch as we go through here. The first document, and I think, Christian, you'll put up what that covered, volume one. Yeah. So volume one, the integrated resource plan. And so what we're going to go through here, Christian, go ahead. I think you got that. These are the parts of it. And I'm going to kind of go just a summary of what each part covered. And then he's also going to show you, as I discuss briefly different sections, what some of the recommendations. I'm not going to specifically state all the recommendations that came from the task force, but you'll be able to see a list of those and helpful for the people at home that might be looking on. So volume one, the integrated resource plan, includes discussion of the current Columbia Water Light energy assets and contracts, as well as future 20-year load forecasts. And why don't you just go ahead, because I'm going to go through each of these. So this is this system load forecast, and this is these are the essentially the conclusions and the recommendations that came from the task force concerning those. And what I'll do is I'll give people a few seconds if they want to look through that. I think there are some in your handouts that you have that too. You will note that there will be several areas where there are the agreements that the task force had with the conclusions and then some disagreements and extra considerations. Then the next portion included an analysis of the of options for future power generation with the presentation of several energy environment scenarios to consider in trying to predict future power needs and options. Is that the next one here? Did you do that, Chris? Is that the next one you just brought up? Okay. Yes, there you go. You'll also notice I'm giving you very short summaries of extensive portions of the document, so just to facilitate our time for this evening. Okay, and then this volume one then concludes with a section what was actually determined to be an incomplete evaluation of limited usefulness on the value of solar generated power. This volume one concluded with a discussion on the benefits and costs of advanced metering infrastructure, or AMI, and smart grid technology. Okay, and then volume two of the plan is, the report is the master plan for transmission and distribution. And this volume discusses the results of spatial load forecast for the Columbia Water and Light service territory, considering the load forecast presented in volume one, and the impact that this load allocation has on the transmission to distribution substations in terms of their coverage areas and the potential needs for expansion. This includes an analysis of Columbia Water and Light's distribution system in the short, or 2025, medium to 2030, and then long term, and identifies the need for reinforcements with some considerations, though limited, of non-wires alternatives and distributed solar generation for attending to the expected load growth. Okay, the next volume two provides an assessment of the Columbian Water and Light transmission system over those same time horizons, including the requirements for the interconnection of new local generation and the vulnerabilities of the system, and identifies alternative transmission solutions. This includes a discussion and comparative evaluation of various transmission upgrade options. Okay, then this report, this volume concludes with a summary of the capital expenditures derived from the analysis in the prior sections. And there we go. There was also in the task force report an additional discussion on non-wired alternatives that you would see in the report. And so I'd like to also state that certainly this has been a truly integrative process, incorporating many varied opinions and priorities, many on the task force that are representative certainly of the community as well, and with the yeoman's attempt to try to include as many of those opinions as possible in the final report to council. So without further ado, we're going to begin the public comment portion here. And we would ask that you come forward and state your name and address. You'll have a 3-minute time limit for your comments. I think are we still cleaning off the, if you can wipe down the speaker podium there after you're done. That's what we've done with other meetings. I think they're still having you do that. I noticed that the wipes are still there, so that would be great. There is also a page back there that if people want to write comments, is that right, to submit comments? There are questions. There's papers back that you can do as well to be addressed by staff or the task force.
Before people start, there's one more chair over here in this alcove if someone's looking for one. You just may not be able to see it.
All right, so whoever would like to come forward.
Good evening. I'm Jack Meisenbach. I live at 806 Sunstone Lane, Columbia, Missouri, 65201. I'm here to kind of set the table for this discussion for your plan update. Climate change is advancing much faster than ever predicted. CO2 levels in the atmosphere reached a 3 million year high at 420 parts per million, putting the world way off track on climate goals, according to a UN report that was just published Monday. This puts the planet on a course for warming that far exceeds critical limits of 1.5 degrees Celsius to stave off catastrophic climate change. The UN report said that we're already at 1.1 degrees Celsius. Unless changed quickly, It may lead to a temperature rise of about 2.7 degrees Celsius by the end of the century. The findings add to a sense of urgency ahead of the COP26 climate talks, which begin in Glasgow on Sunday. Colombia needs to do our part to achieve the United States' commitments. Meanwhile, in the United States Congress, any one of 10 pending bills in the Congress will add a carbon emissions fee to fossil fuels. 1 ton of coal releases 3 tons of CO2. Any carbon fee could double the cost of a ton of coal, causing adverse economic impact to Colombia that will become more severe each year as it's increased. Coal-fired power plants are going away. The May 21 study, Coal Crossover 2021 by Energy Innovations, reports that due to rapid recent cost declines for wind and solar, the combined fuel, maintenance, and other costs of most existing coal-fired plants are now higher than all the costs of new wind or solar projects. Morgan Stanley predicts that U.S. coal will retire by 2033, largely replaced by least-cost wind, solar, and batteries. Wyoming is closing its coal mines and developing wind energy to replace the revenue. Most of the coal Missouri buys comes from Wyoming.
You have about 30 seconds, sorry.
30 seconds?
Yeah.
Too bad. Okay, I'm going to just go into Columbia, Missouri's challenge. Columbia voters have demonstrated their support for renewable energy by passing the energy ordinance in 2004 that called on the city to steadily increase its renewable energy supply through 2030. We need a bold new plan to identify what goals will be required to reach 100% renewable energy by 2030. And I have a whole bunch of details here that I will be glad to give this to whoever you want.
Yep. Very good.
I would encourage as many written comments.
Yes.
If you find yourselves limited by 3 minutes, go ahead and if you have them written down or feel like writing them down, we're going to read all of it. We'll read every single one.
She's going to collect over here.
Over on the.
I didn't wipe this off.
Hello. I am Carolyn Omperon, and I'm speaking tonight on behalf of the Columbia Climate and Environment Commission. Their report was too long, so I provided both a written copy and a soft copy to your email address. I'll just talk to a few highlights. The Columbia Climate and Environment Commission supports recommending to the City Council to formally adopt an electric resource plan and implement a goal via ordinance for Columbia Water and Light that will achieve 100% clean renewable energy for electricity by 2030, rather than by 2035, as recommended in the Climate Action and Adaptation Plan. This change is driven by new scientific information available from the IPCC on the urgent need to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and the analysis available in the 2021 Integrated Resource and Master Plan, Volume 1. These are the reasons we support the recommendation. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres summarized the latest Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change report as follows. Today's IPCC Working Group report is a code red for humanity. We are at imminent risk of hitting 1.5 degrees Celsius in the near term. The only way to prevent exceeding this threshold is by urgently stepping up our efforts and pursuing the most ambitious path. We must act decisively now to keep 1.5 degrees alive. The UN Emissions Gap Report of 2019 says that the reduction in greenhouse gas required by 2030 is 55% of the 2018 production to keep global warming below 1.5 degrees, required to prevent the most severe problems. Each year of postponed peaking means that deeper and faster cuts will be required. For Colombia, this means that a 55% reduction would mean that we would need to reduce 1.27 million metric tons of CO2 equivalent over our 2018 numbers. So that is a significant amount. 2019 emissions from Colombian Water and Light for electricity were 42% of 2019 community emissions, That's 947,000. So 947,000 is a big part of 1.2 million. This provides the largest segment over which the city has control to meet our goals. It is impossible for Columbia to meet UN goals without aggressive conversion of Columbia Water and Light energy production to clean renewable energy. We also support the recommendation for advanced metering infrastructure. We feel that the plan needs to include the assessment for high community temperatures. We recommend the task force support more residential energy efficiency programs, particularly for low to moderate income people. All energy efficiency programs should be reviewed to reflect current technology and building materials, and more commercial energy efficiency programs should be developed that provide incentives to reduce energy use in addition to peak demand reduction.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Esther Stroh, and I live at 807 Leewood Terrace. Thank you, Task Force, for all your work on this, and thank you for the opportunity to comment tonight. I was asked to attend this meeting and support the alternative for 100% renewable energy by 2030. However, I'm concerned that this seemingly forward-looking alternative is a red herring, preventing us from making real progress from truly long-term climate-friendly solutions. The citizens of Columbia own our power utility. This is important because it means that we have a say in how it is designed and run. It is important for the citizens to know what is at stake and what all of our options are. The report points out that social and environmental values and other important factors, including grid infrastructure savings, federal tax credits, job creation, and grid reliability and resiliency, were not included in the value of solar study. The task force warns that council cannot rely on Siemens' report to represent the true value of solar in Columbia. We need to know that. We paid nearly $1 million for this report. They dropped the ball. We shouldn't have to pay for another study. The task force glosses over the non-wired alternative in the transmission system assessment and throws support behind option W, which is to add more transmission lines. This means spending $41.5 million simply to avoid a potential load shedding event every 100 to 200 years. This small, low probability future benefit pales in comparison to the much larger economic, social, and environmental benefits that are immediately available. The minority opinion explains all this was not included in the task force report they were discussing tonight. The city currently spends $100 million per year on electricity produced outside of Columbia. Adding more transmission lines will lock us into a future of dependence on imported energy, regardless of what percentage of that imported energy is renewable. Instead, we should focus on what percent of Columbia's energy is locally produced. We own our electric utility, and we can choose to invest these dollars in our own community on energy self-reliance, which is the only climate-friendly long-term solution. But we can only do this if we have all of the information, much of which is missing from this report. We need to keep our eyes on the real solutions. We should not waste our time arguing about options that lock us into spending our hard-earned tax dollars on transmission lines and other centralized energy systems of the past. Thank you for your work, and thank you for the opportunity to comment.
Hello, everybody. My name is Diana Moxon, and I live at 806 Leewood Terrace. We are always encouraged to follow the data. And when I look at the usage data of the last 12 years and the projected usage data in the Siemens report, it leaves me baffled as to why the task force is recommending adding more transmission lines. The data for the last 12 years indicates that our energy usage is flat, which is especially significant given the large-scale residential development in Colombia over that period. And in the current report, the net load forecast is functionally flat for the next 20 years. Flat. So why is the task force proposing that the city spend more money on building more capacity? Meanwhile, our current level of system reliability is around 99.996%, which roughly equates to a customer's power maybe being out for 4 minutes once every 69 days. And the idea that anyone would want to complain about that makes me want to call the First World Police and report a crime of ingratitude. I'm curious whether any utility has reached the apparent nirvana of 100% reliability. And at the same time as a handful of people in McMansions are bleating about the improbability of not being able to run their waffle maker for 4 minutes every 10 weeks, the power utility, which we all own, is shutting off power to hundreds of our neighbours for late payment of bills. Neighbours who I am pretty sure are not driving around in swanky cars and eating out at fancy restaurants, but rather citizens who are struggling financially. So should we not be focusing on creating a rate system that cares for the most vulnerable amongst us, rather than spending money on the improbable scenario of what I believe you call an N-1 event, an event that might occur once in every 100 to 200 years involving two significant losses of large critical infrastructure? We, the people of Colombia, have an embarrassment of riches in owning our own utility. We have every opportunity not only to meet and exceed our climate adaptation plan, but also to become a model city of energy efficiency using 21st century technology, a decentralized system, and public policy that protects the vulnerable. Thank you all for tackling this challenge. It's not easy. And for the opportunity to comment tonight. Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Sarah Reed, 3802 Bedford Drive, and I want to talk about electric service and affordability. I'm going to start with where I agree with the task force draft. I do agree with the task force recommendations on advanced metering infrastructure. On transmission and distribution, I also agree that investment in new infrastructure is needed and, in fact, is long overdue. That shouldn't be confused with the need for generation. It has to do with the deterioration of our infrastructure, particularly on the southwest side of town, and the need for more redundancy and resiliency. That's well documented in the Siemens report, and the task force summary unfortunately minimizes that risk. I also disagree with the task force's endorsement of the spatial load forecast. We should not be making long-term decisions on academic, hypothetical, and unproven analyses. So on to renewables. I too am concerned about climate change, and I support some use of renewables. But I object to the incorporation by the task force of the 100% renewable standard in the baseline case. That obscures the true cost of moving to that, and I believe the task force failed to give adequate consideration to the affordability of service and the reliability of electric service in making that recommendation. Why are we going to buy excess energy just to meet renewable targets when we have the power we need? Why have an early increase in renewable energy purchases when selling excess coal generation into the market will not actually result in a decrease in emissions? What happens if market rates for reselling the displaced purchase power are less than projected? How will the higher costs be covered? On average, renewable energy costs more than purchase power, and we haven't looked at how much more this new energy standard will cost us. We know that the timing of mandated investments can have big and adverse impacts on the rates customers pay. We need to pay attention to that timing as we move. And the public voted last time on renewable energy. If this is such a good idea, why don't they get to vote again? I thought the value of solar study was actually well and professionally done, focused on utility costs. And I think instead of funding another study, we should follow the suggestion in the Siemens report to pursue a state-level REC program. Finally, I object to the recommendation to fund yet another study on energy efficiency and demand-side management programs. The task force report itself recognizes that Water and Light has been successfully using efficiency programs, energy audits, solar rebates, and other such programs for many years. This week, Water and Light was recognized by the American Public Power Association as a smart energy provider. Showing its commitment and proficiency in DSM resources. I don't think we should pay a consultant to study what our utility is already doing well.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Miley Berry. I live at 2309 West Broadway. 434, and I'm a volunteer speaking on behalf of Mid-Missouri Peaceworks, a membership organization with more than 400 member households, most of whom live right here in Columbia. We have been advocating for our community to create a sustainable existence for decades, but the can has been kicked down the road time and time again. The city's adoption of a climate action and adaptation plan is a solid and appreciated step on the path to a sustainable community, but now is the time to run. One need not look further than the daily headlines to see the initial effects that climate scientists have been warning us about for many, many years. Greenhouse gas emissions need to be halved by the end of this decade if we hope to avoid more calamitous outcomes. Committing to 100% renewably generated electricity by then is the most efficient road to that goal. Peaceworks has collected over 600 names on a petition urging for this goal. They add their voices to the scores of scientists, climate experts, activists, and sensible people calling for real immediate action. We call on this task force to recommend and the City Council to make the commitment to 100% renewably generated electricity by 2030. We call on you to make this brave commitment to your community, to protecting the planet, and to leading by example. Thank you for your time.
Good evening. My name is Christine Doerr. I live at 2510 Brookside Court in Columbia. This statement is on behalf of the Sierra Club Osage Group and the over 4,000 members and supporters in the Columbia area. The Sierra Club strongly supports setting a goal for Columbia Water and Light to produce 100% electricity from clean, renewable sources such as wind and solar by 2030. We are asking the task force to recommend the 2030 date to the City Council. In order for the Columbia Action Plan to succeed, the Columbia Climate Action Plan to succeed, the Council needs to update our utility energy plan to set targets for reaching 100% renewable energy by 2030. Cities nationwide are making commitments to transition to 100% renewable electricity to tackle the climate crisis while creating good jobs and protecting our air quality. Cities like Norman, Oklahoma, Fayetteville, Arkansas, Longmont, Colorado, and others are committing by either 2030 or 2035. 42 communities in the West, Midwest, and South have achieved 100% electricity from clean, renewable sources already. They have shown us that it can be done. Sierra Club has reviewed the Siemens Integrated Electric Resource and Master Plan report and believes that it provides sufficient evidence of the affordable path to 100% renewable electricity by 2030. Sierra Club also supports the task force recommendation that Columbia Water and Light should perform a legal review of all coal power purchase agreements. It is important that Columbia do everything in our power to end coal burning related to our contracts. Sierra Club believes this energy transition must be just. The Sierra Club calls on the task force to recommend more energy efficiency programs specifically designed for low-income households. Climate change is already having a negative effect on local households. After our summer heat waves, here are some of the comments from local citizens obtained from Facebook. September 23, wow, $400 for my utility this month. That's absolutely absurd. I'm on disability, and it's literally half my income. And I'm a single mom of two kids, and I'm struggling to pay these $300-plus utility bills. Columbia needs to contribute to stopping climate change by reducing our greenhouse gas emissions dramatically by 2030. And we need to help those among us who cannot or who do not have the resources to handle the extreme weather. Now, would everyone in the room who supports a goal of 100% clean, renewable energy for Columbia water and light electricity by 2030, please stand or raise your hand high to show your support. I'm sorry I couldn't get the other 4,000 people in the room.
Okay, thank you.
But thank you for your attention.
Christine, you mentioned a study that someone has reviewed the Siemens report, and I was wondering if you could did I catch that right?
No, we reviewed the IERMP.
Okay.
Hello. I'm Barbara Hoppe. I live at 607 Bluffdale. I've been a resident of Columbia for 30 years, but I'm here today as president of the League of Women Voters, and I'm speaking on their behalf. The League of Women Voters is over 100, locally, is over 100 years old, and we have worked tirelessly to increase and expand voting rights, educate voters, and to take positions on issues that are important to voters and to residents. We have hundreds of members locally. The League of Women Voters, Columbia Boone County Environment and Energy Committee, with the leadership or chairmanship of Wynn Caldwell, was instrumental in getting the first renewable energy ordinance passed in Columbia in 2004. So we have a long-standing interest in this issue. And we've worked through the years to help increase that renewable energy goal. I want to thank the task force for working so many hours for so long and producing a really readable and full report, a nice consensus, shortening of the 244-page report. So thank you very much for that. The League of Women Voters, Columbia Boone County, met this month and voted to endorse the goal for the City of Columbia utility to achieve 100% renewable energy by 2030. We strongly believe that this task force recommendation for the City of Columbia to achieve 100% renewable energy by the earliest practical date is too vague. It lacks urgency, and it will not ensure that the City of Columbia does everything it can reasonably to reach 100% renewable energy as soon as possible with undue haste. Our city and other cities across the nation need to take strong and quick action to address climate change. The UN has called for a 50% reduction in CO2 generation by 2030, and our president has adopted this goal. To reach that goal, our city and other cities across the nation must do all we can to reduce CO2, and setting the goal to achieve 100% by 2030 will help the city, direct the city to do everything it can to achieve that goal. And I'm running out of time, but I learned back in seventh grade with letters on the wall that from my English teacher who said, make your reach exceed your grasp. And it's only then that you can reach your full potential. So I'm challenging this task force in the city to make your reach, make our reach further than our grasp, and reach for as much as we can, not what is practical. Who knows what that means? But reach for everything you can to achieve it as soon as you can. Thank you.
Good evening. My name's Mark Hyam. I live at 1402 Richardson Street here in Columbia. I have been a Columbia resident for 50 years as of this month. And usually I come speaking to city council or panels as a representative of Missouri Peace Works. Today I'm speaking on my own as a grandfather. And I have two grandsons. They are 9 and going on 7. And they are wonderful people who happen to live in Germany. My son married a German woman, and they live there. They were both born here in the States. They have dual citizenship. And they live in a country that's taking climate change quite seriously. When I've been there visiting, houses throughout the communities that I've been in have solar roofs. There are wind farms everywhere you go, on the hilltops, around where they live. And throughout Germany, I've traveled around the country. And I'm here speaking for a future generation that's coming down the pike and growing up. And right now they're seeing a country that they live in taking climate change seriously. Germany's not perfect. They have a long way to go still, too. But they're doing so much more than we are and taking this so much more seriously than we are. Unfortunately, the greenhouse gases we produce here in the United States don't just warm our country, don't just affect our climate. This is global climate change. And what we do here affects everyone, including my grandsons and the other people in Europe who are taking this seriously. What I'd like to ask you to do today is to adopt as rapid a change to a renewably based electricity system as we can. And that means setting a goal, and 2030 is a very reasonable and attainable goal. When I speak with students, I often am on campus and talking to college students, to high school students, I often find themselves apologizing for what my generation has done and what we failed to do. And I don't want to have to apologize any longer. I want to see us take the bull by the horns and make things happen properly. We should have done this decades ago. We can't change the past, but we sure can dictate the future, and that's what I'm asking you to do. Some say going 100% renewable is too expensive. I say that too expensive is actually a lot cheaper than not doing it. And the problem is with economics, there are costs and there are prices, but the costs often are not incorporated into the prices. And the costs of burning fossil fuels, in terms of health and environmental quality, as well as in terms of climate change, are just way too high. We need to phase them out as soon as possible. And it's up to you all to take this step and then hopefully the council to embrace a 2030 target. Thank you for your time.
Hi, hello. My name's Andrew Overman. I live at 1811 High Ridge Drive here in Columbia, and I just really thank everyone who's spoken so far. I really thank everyone here who cares about the environment. And I feel like the odd young person out here. I believe I'm the youngest person, perhaps, who's spoken so far. But I also feel our generation is really threatened. I volunteer alongside especially a lot of other young people, and so many of our conversations revolve around not feeling heard, not feeling seen, and as though these problems that are existentially threatening are not being addressed by people we really had trusted at all levels, whether it's federal, whether it's state. And I don't think here in Columbia our leaders feel the same way. I really do feel as though it's not a young person's town, it's not an old person's town. It's just a place where we really do value what one another have to say. And I can't speak on behalf of all young people. I can't speak on behalf of even the ones who have either chosen not to show up or are unable to for other obligations. But I really feel like people my age are scared and looking to leadership, looking to help how we can, but also that we need a lot of caring voices and caring people at all levels. So thank you much for what you do.
Good evening. My name is Erica Ascani. I live at 11 4th Avenue here in Columbia. Thank you for the opportunity to speak tonight. I am 27 years old, and every day I think about the climate crisis. Now, I know that sounds dramatic and inflammatory, but it is simple. I think about our changing world when I'm heading to work every day, deciding whether I will drive or instead don my rain jacket and jump on my bike instead. I think about it when I see my friends and colleagues having children, how I'm terrified to bring another human into this world that may not see the beautiful things that I have had the privilege to see. Climate change is deciding my future, from the food I will eat to the places I want to live. That is my reality and the reality of young people that I know and love. Over 60% of people ages 16 through 25 felt very or extremely worried about the climate crisis and that governments are failing them. Let us not be a part of that failure. I moved to Columbia in 2018 when my partner started a PhD program at Mizzou. I was unsure moving from a huge East Coast city to a small Midwest town, but I fell in love with the people, with the array of advocacy groups, local businesses, and green spaces. But if we refuse to be a leader in the fight against the climate crisis, if we do not practice what we preach as the progressive and forward-thinking city that we are always labeled to be, then I do not have a future here. I implore you to support the 100% renewable energy by 2030 recommendation, because anything less than this will be a disservice to the young people who have lived here their entire lives or fell in love with the city they now call home. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Nick Packham. I live at 2009 North Country Club Drive, and I would like to thank all of you for doing what you're doing on this commission. Beyond that, I'd like you to know that we're all counting on you. One of the things that I have done in this town is I've been an architect here for almost 46 years. I moved here long ago in order to teach, and I've been involved with the academic world one way or another, either on as a faculty member or as a board member most of that time. I've also served, as you have, on various commissions here in Columbia, one of which is the Energy and Environment Commission, and also the Building Code Commission, and also the Downtown Leadership Council. I have been dedicated to renewable energy ever since I traveled around the world as an officer on a ship and saw different ways that people live in different parts of the planet and realized how important the local culture is in determining the behavior in every way, not just energy behavior, but all kinds of behavior. As an architect, I know that buildings here in the United States use roughly 40% of the energy that's generated. So I have done, along with many, many colleagues here in the United States, work toward creating net zero buildings so that 40% of the demand could go away. Right now, as you all know, Columbia was rated number 40 in the country for good towns to live in, and number one in the state of Missouri. I think this goal of becoming 100% renewable energy by 2030 would only strengthen that position. And I'd like to share with you a conversation that I had with Buckminster Fuller, who was my dissertation supervisor toward the end of his life in the early 80s. He observed not only once but frequently in personal conversations, but more often
speaking to large groups, where he would say, the 21st century is when we find out if the human race is a failed experiment. How's it look? I think that recommending to the city council that we get to 100% renewable energy is a very good idea. Thank you.
My name is Alice Turner. I see a lot of friends in the room, both on the task force and in the audience. I've lived here 40 years. I've also was a member of the Environment and Energy Commission as a county and city representative for about 15 years. As I listen to this conversation, my mind sort of goes back in time. Over 40 years ago, I taught social studies at the tail end of the Carter administration. There was a huge interest in solar power. We called it solar power then. And here we are in this room 40 years later, trying to make decisions on the policies we're going to recommend to our council. And I really think you need to look at the strongest recommendation possible. We don't know who our next mayor, who else will be on the council. We know who's there right now. We need to set strong goals, because we're already 40 years later from when I taught school, and my students showed a lot of interest in this. My son is 35. He'd like to buy an electric car. We don't have the infrastructure, at least in central Missouri, to buy electric cars very easily. I also want to mention, I drive a Toyota Prius. Someone rear-ended me last week. I was given a real shock when the rental company gave me a Jeep to drive. Instead of 56 miles to the gallon, it's getting 21. And that's a real shock, but those are the two worlds we live in. I don't want to put down SUV drivers because I have an old SUV, but we live in two worlds where some of us really want to set these goals and have us all learn to work toward them, and some of us are happy with driving 21 miles to the gallon cars. I am not. I want to bring up one other point, something I learned from someone who was on the utility company. Today, Nemo insulation insulated my attic. When I bought that house 19 years ago, 25 was an okay R value. 25 years ago, today it's R50. And my attic today now, after their visit, will be R50. We need to set strong goals. Please look at the 100% goal that's being proposed, and we can set parameters and policies that will put that in place. We can reach those goals, as other communities and states are doing, if we set them. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Finley Gibbs. I live at 106 South Glenwood Avenue here in Columbia. And I've been here, I was trying to do the math on this, I think somewhere around 40 years, not sure. And one of the things that I've truly enjoyed about this town is how we have pushed. We have pushed to have trails, bike lanes, a lot of things that cause people to say, this town is moving forward. It's not sitting in the past. It's not like a lot of other towns I've been to where you can't get around in anything other than your car. And that doesn't mean that I think that we should base every single thing we do specifically on climate change. I am a firm believer in climate change. Many people here tonight have already said things that I think cover most of what I believe about this town, which is that, you know, committees like this need to exist. Committees like this need to examine what the town wants, what the town needs. Sometimes those things are different. But in this situation, there isn't much question in my mind, having been here since the 80s, that we don't need more transmission lines. What we need to do is to analyze, as you have done, what are the best ways that we can create and move our energy in this town. So I'm not going to repeat a lot of the things that got said earlier. I just have a couple of points. I'm going to try to beat that 3-minute timer. And one of those is that I noticed that there was a task force minority opinion about non-wires. And in your report and recommendations, it indicated an additional minority opinion has been submitted, which highlights the merits of non-wires alternatives. This opinion remains to be reviewed by the task force before submission of final report. Has that review occurred? Have we been supplied with that report?
No, that was submitted at the deadline that this went in, and it did not have the report. So, or the task force, agreement to put it in, and so it will be discussed at our next meeting, which is this coming Wednesday.
Okay. Will there be an opportunity for public comment at that time?
Always. Yep.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you very much. And one last statement, and I've got 25 seconds. I'm going to beat this. You know, I agree with what Ms. Moxon said earlier this evening, which is we don't seem to have a problem with our growth. In fact, we should be applauded for keeping our growth relatively flat as far as usage of electricity. And I think that our recommendation should reflect that and not open the door to increase our size of our city inappropriately. And I missed it by 3 seconds. Thank you very much.
Good evening. My name is Jim Windsor at 200 Manor Drive. I found some factual errors and misrepresentations in the report, but I wanted to focus on some questions. First of all, I want to know why representatives of the company that ratepayers have paid almost $900,000 are not present to provide information and answer questions. Why were competitive electric rates not identified as a critical aspect of the study when competitive electric rates are written into Article 12 of the Columbia City Charter? Why was resiliency not identified as a critical aspect of the study when it is identified as one of two stated purposes of the Climate Action and Adaptation Plan? Why does the Climate Action and Adaptation Plan state that extreme heat, drought, higher incidence of severe storms, and reduced air quality are growing threats in Columbia due to climate change, yet the company that ratepayers have paid $900,000 chose to use average temperatures as the basis for all projections? Why would the task force support a solution to get a second transmission path to Perchy Creek substation that is not resilient by putting both transmission lines on the same poles from the same substation? I do want to comment on the 100% renewables, and it's going to sound like I'm against renewables, but it's not true. Actually, what I really believe in is extreme or radical efficiency, because using an example of a pail, it doesn't make sense to keep pouring water in it if it has a bunch of holes. So why, it doesn't matter what kind of energy we buy if everything is inefficient, so we need to push that, and it's a shame the study didn't include that. For those of you that came tonight to support the idea of 100% renewable energy, do you know what that really means? It should mean that all the electricity that we use will come from renewable sources. It doesn't. Most of our energy would still come from fossil fuel. What it would mean is that we would buy an amount of renewable energy to equal the total amount of non-renewable energy used by Columbia. That would require buying almost 1 million megawatt hours per year more of renewable energy. We would then play a dangerously risky financial game of buying and selling non-renewable energy that would greatly impact the local economy, all for the purpose of saying we are 100% renewable and pretending we were getting all of our energy from renewable sources, even though we won't. And for those of you that represented organizations, I will be glad to come and discuss with you the real challenges we face on how do we move to a real renewable basis. And you need to understand demand energy, the difference between demand and energy, capacity factors, and many other issues, and I would be glad to do that. So I've run out of time. Thank you.
My name is Ken Medkiff.
I reside at 1005 Bellevue Court here in Columbia. I'm a member of the Osage Group Sierra Club Executive Committee. I'm a columnist for the Missourian and for the Joplin Globe, but I'm not speaking for any of those. I'm speaking for myself as a citizen of Columbia. And akin to Mr. Windsor, I am more concerned about what is not in this report rather than what is. What is not is how the peak load is going to be reduced. And I think this report should talk about LED bulbs or compact fluorescent bulbs, more insulation, and energy efficient appliances, and other things like that. How are we going to achieve energy efficiency, which is, according to the report, is expected to increase by 0.03%. I want that to go down, not up. And thank you for your time.
Hello, my name is Laura Wacker. I am the Earth Day coordinator for Columbia. And fossil fuels are the single largest... Oh, I live at 1617 Paris Road, by the way. Fossil fuels are the largest contributor to the climate crisis. Fossil fuel companies have had a large impact on how our nation chooses energy sources. Fossil fuel lobbyists have secured direct subsidies to fossil fuel industries in the U.S., totaling $20 billion yearly. And production subsidies grew 28% between 2017 and 2019. Unfortunately, in order to stand a chance of surviving climate change, we need to keep 80% of known fossil fuel reserves in the ground. The spending we have on fossil fuels nationally and in Colombia and the goals of the Climate Action and Adaptation Plan are contradictory. As the Earth Day coordinator of Columbia, I can tell you that there are many people in this city who are concerned about carbon footprint. Thousands follow us every year on social media. Hundreds of thousands have participated in our event over the years. Our goal has always been to educate the public on sustainability. We provide workshops and booths of local businesses and organizations, connect with festival goers on sustainable practices and efforts. I also help to coordinate the Sustainable Living Fair each year, where people participate in workshops to learn how to live more sustainably. This city is educated, they know about climate, and they want to see action. Luckily, we're not like the federal government. Y'all aren't being paid off by fossil fuel companies, are you? And so we own our own utility. We can be the change we want to see in the world, and not very many cities have the ability to say that. We're nestled in the middle of a state with three institutions of higher learning in this town. We can be the leader in Missouri and follow the lead of other cities in this country by taking an aggressive attack to combat greenhouse gases. Let's choose 100% renewable electricity for Columbia by 2030. But I also do agree reducing the load is so important, and we have plenty of citizens who are ready and willing to do that. Biden's Build Back Better plan had money originally in it for cities like ours who have long-term contracts that need to get out of them. Okay, I don't know that made the cut on the 1.75 that came down this week, and I couldn't find a place to read that. But there are going to be subsidies for energy savings, and we need to get on board with getting citizens that information. And let's hope that the city will reduce our carbon emissions, and the sooner the better, so 2030. Thank you.
Any other comments? Again, we can leave written comments or questions. Oh, you still have? Okay.
Hi, I'm Tom Eads. I live at 900 Pin Oak Court in Columbia, Missouri. I've been a resident of Columbia for 40 years. I've been a healthcare provider for 40 years. Healthcare is my career. So I have a fundamental drive for water quality, air quality, and equity. I'm going to make that analogy because in healthcare, in my career, there's often been a difference between where healthcare is going and where healthcare needs to go. And I've seen the consequences of when we delay where healthcare needs to go. So I want to suggest that here. I think we all are familiar with the science and the urgency and the likely consequences. We know where our energy plan needs to go. So I urge you to take that path and not delay and suffer the consequences. Thank you.
Anyone else? Okay, at this point, I'll turn the meeting back over to Jay.
Thank you, Tom. And I am going to assume that everyone has had the opportunity to provide comments. We certainly appreciate everybody being here and all of the very rich testimony that we've had about our energy future in Columbia. And with that, what I'm going to do is to go ahead and close the public comment portion of the meeting. Yes, Tom?
I just want to add, everything we talked about tonight, just by virtue of the nature, the way the city does business, taking spending our money project by project, because we lack the luxury of just saying, let's throw $500 million at this. Every single person here will be able to have an opportunity to talk. This isn't the last word. This is just the last public portion before a report gets published. But as recommendations begin to come out and they trickle for City Hall, the entire group can still come to influence City Council's decision, because they'll be voting on things one by one. And it's every single time they vote, that's another opportunity for everyone to come forward and make your voice heard, so that the process really will be transparent. They can hear what the people want. Just throwing that out there. We talked about that in our prep for this, to emphasize particularly if some people were dissatisfied with what we produce, that it's not the final word.
Thank you. What I want to do is mention, close the public comment part of our meeting, but in the closure, we have always have a section for staff and for task force members, and I'm first going to ask if there are any comments by staff that would like to add to tonight's meeting. Okay, and with that, what I'd like to do is open it up to comments from the task force members. If there's any, Tom has added.
I just said.
Okay, underscore that.
I jumped the gun, sorry.
Yes,
I have one small comment, which is, and I think this is something I'm going to bring up for revisions to the report. This one in every 100 to 200 year question is something that I've been very frustrated with. It is a completely inappropriate way of framing the risk. And I'm not saying it's a high risk, but that makes it seem like it's something that will happen in 200 to 100 years. What it actually means is a 0.5% to 1% chance every year of load shedding. It is not once every 100 to 200 years. And that's the way Siemens framed it, but I think in our report we need to do better, because it's really misrepresenting what that means in terms of the risk of load shedding. So that's just one thing to clarify. We will clarify that in the report, or I will push for us to clarify that, but I wanted to clarify it here.
We went around and around in our meetings about what it truly means.
Yeah.
And I was one of the people who had to kind of convert my thinking.
I'd just like to express my gratitude for everyone who came out here on not a particularly lovely autumn evening. We really appreciate it. We really hear you. I heard some themes running through that we'll take with us and carry forward. Really appreciate it.
The system didn't like that clapping. Any other comments? I certainly want to add some of my own, so I'll go ahead with that. And I just appreciate your time to come out. Obviously, we feel very strongly about this topic because we've spent quite a bit of time ourselves in meetings, sometimes excruciatingly long, very difficult to understand what is going on because of the audio and so forth and so on. Very difficult through these challenging times to progress as we have. And as Tom mentioned, this is not the end of the road by any means. It's a way station, I guess. What we intend to do is to meet next Wednesday at the Joe Paul Crane Building, which is on the business loop. It's across from the power plant. It's kind of difficult to get to, but unfortunately, that's what we are given by the city to as a location to meet. And our meetings start at 5:30. They have public input in the meetings, and if there's anybody interested, please, and you're not sure how to get there, please come up after the meeting and find out.
Can I clarify, though, to be fair, the public input's at the end of the meeting.
It is at the end of the meeting.
So somebody would have to sit through the meeting, so much like council.
The thing that I also want to point out is that there's some realities between what we would look at in terms of the idea of getting to 100% renewable, which would be an incredibly important goal to reach with where we're at right now. And it, I think, has the window has opened up because of the Siemens report that at least there's a consultant that is talking about us achieving that goal, but there's a lot of reality in between still. And with that, I'm going to leave that comment. And if there's nothing else, I would entertain the motion.
I move we adjourn.
Motion has been on the table and
seconded.
Any discussion? Not all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. And this meeting's adjourned.